Blog Talk Radio.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Blitzkrieg broadcast. It is April 4th, 2014. Thank you so much for joining me here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Please check out all the other great hosts on this network. I also wanted to mention that we have less than 2 weeks for this next fundraising drive for the White Man March. You can find the donation link to the right of the chat screen at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. It's really important that we meet the $3,000 goal, not just because we'll be able to purchase a lot more great material and get a lot of things accomplished with that, perhaps some advertising. I hear that there's an interesting offer that could be coming this way for getting our message out big time. So It's not just because we can do a lot with it. It's because that if we don't reach the goal, this company that we're doing it through, Indiegogo, they take a bigger cut. And we don't want them getting a bigger percentage of the money that's raised because we didn't meet the goal. So please find a way to either donate yourself or spread it around to people you think might be willing to donate. Share it on social media, whatever you can do. Please help us out in any way that you can in terms of even just sharing these shows and getting the word out, you know, the way that you see best. Also, new update. If you click on my show page at the top, you'll see that I now have a P.O. box where you can send me fan mail. You can send me hate mail. You can send me donations. You can just send me a regular letter. I'd appreciate getting it. So go over to renegadebroadcasting.com, click on my picture up at the top, and you will find my P.O. box. That being said, I encourage you to go over to whitemanmarch.com and join in the activity. You'll see that on the front page is just the blog posts and our latest video, which you should share around. It has the updated information as to when the White Man March will be. But if you click on the menu there next to home, it will say activity, and that's where we've got some social networking going on and some planning. I will get to some ideas for the White Man March at another time. This upcoming one, which is the day before Easter, the day before Hitler's birthday. And maybe you can put around some Easter eggs, lay some Easter eggs for the day following our White Man March for people to discover. All right, tonight, folks, tonight I have Olaf Childress. He is the publisher and editor of The First Freedom, which is an actual, tangible newspaper. And we're going to be discussing a whole variety of issues. So I'm going to bring him on here and start this discussion. Hello, Olaf. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Kyle. I'm very happy to be with you this evening. And just listening to your spiel about collecting money, I just want to mention that the main enemies that we are fighting have got unlimited funds. And so, folks out there, you really need to think about this, that the money is fighting against us. If we can't come up with at least the small amount of money that it takes a program like Kyle's here, and the small amount of money that it takes to keep my newspaper, which is a hard copy, 24-page tabloid newspaper that comes out monthly. If our people can't come up with a little bit of money, comparatively speaking, that it takes to get the other side of the story out there than what these Jews are bringing out in their mediocrity. Mediocrity is a term that I myself have coined some time back. I mean, we've had this, the First Freedom,
like
already being published for, we're in our 16th year right now, Kyle. And mediocrity is really what it is that we've got. We had back up until World War II what we called a bureaucracy. The C-R-A-C-Y, that's Greek, and it means power. So you had the power of the office holders up until they decided they needed a better front, and that was the media. They took over the media completely during the so-called Iraq War. At that time, the newspapers that got any news at all from the battlefront, that is, from our invasion of a man that had done us no harm and threatened us not at all, when we invaded Iraq, the only news that we could get was through these embedded reporters.
Mm-hmm.
The embedded reporters, they had to go along and be right beside the propagandists that belonged to every military unit. All military units have got their press corps, or that is their person or office that deals with the press. So you had these embedded reporters, and that's where the Mediacracy shifted gears. And today we have got these, I call them media munchkins. I can't think of a more
the media is able
word
to
for them.
These people
have sold their souls to the devil, Kyle. They know that their job ends the day that they come over and start reporting the things that you and I are reporting. You on the radio airwaves and I through the media that's mailed out all over the country and to a number of foreign countries.
Well, they've been using this media for a long, long time before the embedded reporters, in order to convince Americans that they need to go to war. So they've been working together between the media and the military for quite some time. I think right now a lot of military people are beginning to understand that and are resenting their Jewish Zionist overlords who are having them fighting these wars halfway around the world for no benefit of their own people or themselves or even the people that they're allegedly fighting to free. So I think a lot of these military people, you know, who aren't bought off by the big cabal, let's say, but are bought off in that they have a job and they need to do it, they are really they're seeing on the front lines what America's foreign policy is really all about and how it's not actually serving America's interest. You think about what happened after we got into these big wars as the media worked with the shadow government, the overt government, the whatever elements, the Mossad, as the media worked with these elements to orchestrate September 11th and convince the American people that it was Saddam Hussein that did it. After this war, sure, there were a few years of decent prosperity, but this country has been tanking ever since as we've been spending resources and lives overseas, destroying bridges, building them, while here at home, everything is falling apart.
War profiteers are behind the whole thing, and as I say, the Jews are in charge of the money, and they are in charge of the media. And they need fronts. They don't want to be exposed. They consider themselves exposed enough when we point out their chutzpah that they admit this and they admit that, and they almost dare us to give them a chance to call us anti-Semitists. I just wanted to point out when I was mentioning that I call them the Mediacracy, that there was actually a time, I mean, they were already, they've been for the past century feeding Americans all this war fever that gets us into wars that we've got no business going into. I just wanted to point out that there was a time along during World War II when it shifted from what we then, in those days, we spoke often of the bureaucracy. You don't ever hear that word anymore, and because the media is completely controlled by these people, these sellouts, you don't hear the word Mediacracy. That's why we've got to get newspapers like the First Freedom, which comes out once a month. We've got to get more newspapers like this. And it's not all that difficult to get a newspaper started.
I'd like to get into that just in a little bit. First off, I want to say I like Mediacracy. I think it's brilliant, and I like how it's so close to mediocrity. And that's what the media really is pushing. They're writing to what is it now, a fourth grade level? They're just putting out just drivel. It isn't even worthy of fourth grade reading, what the kind of garbage that they're putting out through the media. They're talking down to people like they're children.
It's beginning to fold. If you took away the grocery store advertisements that the women go for, and if you took away the advertising revenue that the mainstream newspapers are receiving, 75% of their costs are Jewish advertising, and the Jews simply need to hint that they're going to withdraw the advertising from the media, from any newspaper or radio station, and they can pass that same hint in the other direction to any super grocery store that if you don't go along with all these kosher foods and advertise as we say you should advertise, you are also losing our support, and you're going to be out of business in just a matter of a few months.
Yeah, well,
you do see these big grocery stores shutting down and changing names, et cetera. The Jews are behind all of that.
I want to start a line of unkosher pickles. You're telling me I can't get these in grocery stores? I'm just kidding with you. I think unkosher pickles would sell very well with certain people, though. Now, let's get into the First Freedom. Maybe I can advertise the unkosher pickles in the First Freedom. But
all right, and we can advertise your show too, Kyle.
All right.
I'd be glad to.
Well, I think...
Let me emphasize that it's not that difficult to start a newspaper. They shut down the older paper that Willis Carto had established back during the Liberty Lobby's heyday in Washington, D.C.
The Spotlight.
They got his lawyer, Mark Lane, and some others involved with, we don't want to get into that, but anyway, they managed to shut down the weekly Spotlight. So that was, they simply shot themselves in the foot. They got nowhere. They gave the staff of the Spotlight a much-needed vacation of about 7 months, and they came back with American Free Press harder hitting than ever. And American Free Press has been going ever since full steam ahead with a weekly newspaper. Now, a lot of people say that the First Freedom is the best paper out there, but let me point out that we've got a whole month to get our paper together. And Petherick, the editor of American Free Press, he has got to get a paper out once a week. If he had more money, this is back to the subject that where we're hurting. If he had more money and could hire more staff, he could put out a super newspaper with boots on the ground out there reporting from what's actually happening. And Karen, let me point out also that boots on the ground is where it's all at, and I really appreciate these quiet man marches. We've published in recent issues Hunter Wallace's articles about the protests against white demographic displacement that the League of the South is the League of the South has already gone to about 8 different demonstrations in as many months. Now, I understand that the White Man March does not wish to be called a demonstration, and I find it very clever.
Well, not a protest. It's a demonstration.
We have already covered as much as we can of what has happened. We've got on the front page of the current issue that big banner of those boys holding that diversity equals white genocide. Need to keep at it. Because their papers are not going to do, they're not going to publish this. Now, you come on once with each show. You have just interviewed Paul Fromm. I told you that I listened to that, and I very much like the format of your programs, and I hope that this will be what we need on the air to keep people informed about where these marches are going to be and who is doing what, like that big semi-truck that drove all over Texas with diversity equals white genocide and 2-foot-tall letters on the back of his semi.
Yeah, that was great.
This is great. So let's keep at that, and let's keep informing the people when and where these things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, before I forget it, let me say this.
All right.
For you boys that were out there demonstrating and are planning to be out there again on the 19th, I believe it is. If you want to get in just a little bit more practice in the meantime, go to Richmond tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, the capital of Virginia, because there is the gathering that is protesting this senator who introduced the legislation that has now, they had gay marriage overruled in the state of Virginia until this black affirmative action judge, federal judge, overthrew that decision. So that's what the demonstration tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in front of the Capitol in Richmond, Virginia. Any of you within driving distance, get down there. Meet Dr. Hill and all of those boys from the League of the South, and you'll be in good company, and you'll get more practice what you're doing.
They seem like really classy guys at the League of the South. And I like what they're doing. And I think that this real-world activism, getting out there, the boots on the ground, is very important. It's very important that we have real newspapers, like the American Free Press and like your paper, The First Freedom. I think that this is essential. I think we've got to take over the airwaves. We've got to have all these broadcasts. And we do have a number of good broadcasts out there on this station and on other ones. So I really encourage people to think about starting up their own broadcast, too. I think we've got to start moving into some other areas of media. You mentioned reporters out in different locations of the country. I think a nightly news show video is one of the next steps that we've got to do. We've got to have a serious news network, kind of like Alex Jones does, but without all of the bullshit. We've got to bring this to the next level. We don't necessarily have the funds for a seriously professional operation just yet. Why? Because we're not taking the kosher money. We're not taking their shekels. That's why. But we're getting there. And we're making serious inroads. And we've got to make it happen. So anybody that's out there in different locations, and you feel like there's an interesting story. Cover it yourself. Get your girlfriend, get your boyfriend, whatever it is, whoever you are. We got some good-looking ladies out there who could get their boyfriend to film them reporting on some kind of story wherever you are, whatever your local news is about. Upload it to YouTube, send it to us, and we'll start compiling these different news stories, and we'll make our own new media. We'll get these videos going viral. We've already got the network set up. Where we can reach a lot of people with our articles online, the online publishing, it's big. It shouldn't be everything. I think it's great that people can actually have a newspaper that they can look through, and then pass on to somebody else. I think it's very important that these newspapers continue to exist, even though the big mainstream press is having a lot of trouble putting newspapers around. When it's revolutionary content, newspapers are a great way to get the information into the hands of somebody you think needs it. So I really think what you're doing is a great thing, Olaf. We'll talk more about the First Freedom here. First, maybe you could tell me some of the writers you've got for the First Freedom, and then also how people can go about getting a subscription.
Okay, well, first of all, let me talk about reporter Nancy Hitt, because she's got a message that she wanted me to pass along. She says, always at these demonstrations, be armed with a camera. So at the White Man March, one thing you want to have with you is a camera. Well, most of you have got a camera because you've got a cell phone, and these cell phones are excellent cameras. But you can also use a disposable camera, and if there's any trouble, you want to catch that, and you want to get those images and the story to us here at the First Freedom, because we will publish your side of the story, which the Mediocracy certainly will not publish, except in passing a little bit of your side of the story. Nancy Hitt says also that the Radio Shack sells battery-operated bullhorns. So get you one of those. Some of them will even play Dixie. And rally with whomever But get out there, because boots on the ground is what we need. And a minute ago you mentioned Alex Jones. Kyle, let me tell you this. Alex Jones never uses the J word, and I think we know why. He's been around for a long time. He's been around since the beginning of the Internet. And I personally know people here in Baldwin County, Alabama. We're right down here about 20 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. I know people who had great faith in Alex Jones until we cut him down in the pages of the First Freedom. We don't have as much circulation as we need. It's a lot easier to start one of these newspapers than you might imagine with all the programs that you've got on the Internet. And Kyle, I'm glad to hear you say that you also want to see more radio shows out there. That shows that we are not afraid of competition. We welcome competition, and we need competition. I mean, that's what the Germans have got a saying, ein Mann schärft dem anderen. That means one man sharpens the other man. We need real competition, and we don't need media that are all saying exactly the same thing because they know where their bread is buttered and they know they're out of a job if they come right out and say anything that's true. Okay, you said I should mention how to subscribe?
Real quick, I just want to bring another saying in there, which is that, you know, all boats rise with the rising tide. I might not have said that correctly, but, you know, people understand the concept that everybody's rising right now. All the different websites that are out there, you can check on Alexa.com. All these different sites have been seeing a huge surge in traffic. There is real
change
grassroots.
Is coming.
Yeah, everybody's going to be having a place. Get in now. Get in now to start doing your
change
show.
Change is coming. Change is coming, and it's not Obamacare. I keep getting these different come-ons that are from many different, from several different sources that are trying to get me to sign and return anything that would indicate that I participate in any way with the federal health care system. Since it has gone from the simple Medicaid and Medicare, which was already an overkill, I simply threw it all in the trash. And come on and arrest me, Obama. I'm going to tell the people out there they should do the same. When you get something that you don't want to subscribe to from the federal government, put it in the trash.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think before anybody comes to arrest me, they might be going to arrest that guy because he's got some serious, serious scandals going on. It's just one after the other with that guy. So I can't believe it's actually lasted this long. I mean, honestly, I've been talking about this.
The only reason that it has lasted this long, Kyle, is because the fella is colored. I mean, our people have been so brainwashed for so long, since kindergarten, not one generation but three generations. It all started back in the 1960s. That's when the Jewish mediocrity shifted into high gear and said, it's now or never. They're going to find out about us. And we, as you say, we are finding out about them. Things are happening. Change is coming, and it's not the kind of change that liar in the White House has promised. That Kenyan is going to go, and he will probably go whenever they decide to have him assassinated and find some white patsy to blame in the mediocrity.
Well, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. To be honest, I don't want to see that man dead. I want to see him in prison.
Oh, I don't want to see it either. I don't want to see anybody get assassinated.
Right.
I mean, if you don't like somebody, get up in his face and fight him, but don't shoot him in the back.
Right. And what, even though he has committed very serious crimes, I've charged a number of people with genocide. That's what we're doing, the White Man March. We're putting forth massive charges of genocide against the anti-white administrations of the world, this global New World Order system that wants to see diversity in white countries and in only white countries. I want to see it absolutely taken down. But if somebody like the president was to be taken out, this would be terrible for us. They would try to spin this completely against us, and they would make him into the new Martin Luther King, a saint. He would be immediately sainted.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. They've got a man in the White House. They planned it already from way back because he knew absolutely nothing about government. When he was a senator out of Illinois, he knew zero about government. All he knew about was partying and boyfriends and things like that. He knew absolutely nothing about government.
Well, let's talk about how to subscribe to the First Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And also, who's writing for the First Freedom? I checked through your last issue. Looks really good. And it's got a lot of names that people out there who are listening would recognize.
Yeah, we've got a lot of names that we publish regularly, and we are beginning with the next issue, which is May. We will be publishing monthly Enid Rimland Jindal. That is Ernst Jindal's wife in Tennessee, who her husband was seized and taken away from her years ago, and we have covered that at various times in the First Freedom about how he was a Canadian, just like Paul Fromm that you just had on your show. He was an activist in Canada, and he was publishing and selling. Did 6 million really die? And oh, that got with the Jews. And the Jews are more firmly entrenched in Canada. That's what people need to know here, that they are. Fewer people have guns in Canada, and more people are afraid of the Jews in Canada than here in the United States. The United States, by the way, and especially here in the South, we are the hope of the world. We are armed to the teeth. Yep. I was over in Pensacola last Saturday at a gun show where hundreds of people were there, mm-hmm. and we plastered the First Freedom on the windshields of all the vehicles in the parking lot. And the police, came and pro forma told us we should not be doing that. And we said, well, yes, we'll pick up any of those that blow down on the ground. But they didn't make us remove them off the windshields because this is a Second Amendment-friendly newspaper. And everybody there at that huge gun show are for the Second Amendment, which gives you the right to keep and bear arms.
Well,
Let me tell you a little bit about how to subscribe to the paper now, because
yeah,
we started to do that once or twice. If you want to receive, starting with the May issue, the next 12 monthly issues of this 24-page tabloid newspaper, very few advertisements, send $25. We're cheap. Send $25, cash, check, or money order, and we don't play with plastic cards or any of that. Send $25 cash, check, or money order to the First Freedom or simply TFF, Post Office Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
All right.
And we'll get that paper out to you, and I believe you will renew once you see what we've got, because we call ourselves the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all, and we are here in the deep South where it is safe enough to do that.
So,
if we were in Connecticut, it would be totally impossible to get this paper out.
But we are taking
the country back one square foot at a time, and you folks with Kyle out there that are doing these white man marches, you're few. But you have already found out from that first white man march that it's safe to do this, just like I have found out that it's safe to publish a newspaper and send it through the U.S. mails. It's safe because people are catching on. They're no longer as dumb as they were about 3 years ago. That is, they're no longer, they knew already 3 years ago, but they were still buffaloed and thinking that it's not okay to protest against somebody like a colored president of the United States. Now they are seeing that there's no other way that we can live in a free country except that we put our boots on the ground and we take this country one state, one county, one community at a time until it stretches all the way to Boston.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
We had a little problem a while back when the Wall Street Journal tried to defame the First Freedom. I had a call from Moscow that's in Russia, and the Wall Street Journal's reporter there said, I am doing a report on the Boston Massacre connection that we have a man there in the area where this happened, and he knew both of those boys that have been accused of being behind the Boston Marathon bombing, and he subscribes to the First Freedom, and they were reading it from him. Well, I saw later also that the American Free Press had been likewise accused by the Wall Street Journal. But the article, what I published in the next issue after he contacted me, was pretty much the same as what Mr. Petherick, the editor of American Free Press, published in the next issue of AFP, that we had not responded because we smell a rat from a mile away when it comes to dealing with something like the Wall Street Journal. So they came out with all this business about how this one elderly man there that was a subscriber to the First Freedom had all of these different tabloids, newspapers from the right-wing viewpoint, that is from the ultra-conservative and not the neo-conservative viewpoint. And so they were trying to tie that in with the Boston Marathon. But we have brought numerous articles in recent months showing the doubts that exist that either one of these boys had anything to do with it, that they were set up, one of them murdered and the other one held incognito now. Not even the media munchkins can get to him and hear any word he's got to say. And down in your state of Florida, the cops themselves murdered the one witness that was a close associate of those two boys up there in Boston. And they were interrogating him. He was unarmed, but supposedly he came at this one police officer, FBI officer, that was interviewing him, and the FBI officer pumped him full of lead. End of that story. So that's another story that you will get, that you did get in the First Freedom, that you would not get in from the Mediocracy. So you need to support these alternate news media, folks. That's where it's at.
I'm taking a look through the last issue here, and I'm seeing you've got an article by Carolyn Yeager, you've got Paul Craig Roberts, you've got John Kaminsky, you've got a number of people that people would recognize, and even if they don't recognize who it is, it looks like these articles are top notch here. Some really important issues that, yeah, you're right. You're not going to see in print really anywhere else unless you do it yourself.
And as I say, starting next month, we've got, we've had her name on the masthead for some time for an occasional article, but starting next month, Ingrid Jundel, we'll be writing an article each month. The one we're starting with is her article directed. It was first published by Veterans Today online, and it's talking about the veterans of World War One, especially the one young veteran who was gassed and was in the hospital and was discouraged, and with the Versailles Treaty that simply destroyed anything that was left of Germany that had existed before World War One, so that the Jews came in and bought up everything, printed the money, published all the newspapers, and this man was the one who would eventually bring them under control for a time, at least, until we came in there and bombed all of their cities, bombed the railroads so that the Red Cross food and supplies could no longer get to those camps where the so-called Holocaust took place. They have spun a lot of tales about this man. I'm talking about Adolf Hitler, in case anybody is still in doubt. And that's the first story that we're going to do in this monthly series by Ernst Zindel's wife, Ingrid, starting with the May issue. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Ernst Zindel, because I'm sure some of you out there do not know about that. Just like Paul Fromm, he was a Canadian. He had come over at about, I believe, age 17 from Germany and become a Canadian citizen, and Did 6 Million Really Die was the pamphlet that he was offering for sale in Canada and selling at a very reasonable price, which you can still get from Ingrid, by the way. And so they, the Jews in Canada simply arrested him, and he beat them right and left, especially the excellent attorney that he had working for him. And they brought in forensic evidence from Poland and Germany that proved without a doubt that there were no such things as gas chambers. The whole thing has been set up, and the only way they've been able to sell it is with their total ownership of the media. But that's changing. Those communist newspapers are folding right and left, and we're moving into that vacuum. People don't want it anymore. People are waking up. And this Ernst Zindel, at the time, when they were still in power, when they were at the height of their power, that is, when 9/11 happened under their direction, when 9/11 happened, they were at the height of their power. And Ernst Zindel was, even though he had beaten them in court and come to America and married his wife, Ingrid, and they lived happily in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, where she still lives, yet he, after serving 7 years behind bars for thought crimes, did nothing illegal. Thought crimes railroaded by the power of the mediocracy, judges that know that this is the way they're supposed to go. And after he had beaten the case in the Supreme Court of Canada, with these minor courts there and here, the agents of the ZOG, they came to his home in Tennessee, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, handcuffed him and took him away. He was kept for about 2 weeks in prison in the nearby vicinity. Then he was transported to New York and kept in a jail cell there. And then he went to, after he served several months in America, that is in the United States, then he went to Canada, all of this without any further hearing, mind you, and was kept for 2 years in solitary confinement in a cell in Canada. Then he was flown out without announcement on an airplane that nobody knows whose plane it was or who had ordered it. He was flown to Germany, and there he was sentenced to 5 years. He has served 7 years altogether, and he now resides in Germany because the United States will not allow him back in this country for 20 years, so at about 15 years right now. And not only was he thrown in jail for thought crimes, his lawyer, Sylvia Stoltz, and by the way, the German word Stoltz means pride, and that's her name, that's her genuine name. Sylvia Stoltz defended him a little bit too vigorously, and when she stood and defied that court that was not willing to listen to the evidence, she stood up and held up her right hand and said, Heil Hitler. And they put her in jail for 3 years. She's back out now. This is what we're dealing with in an occupied country. Make no mistake about it.
It's a great tragedy, what happened to him.
The Jewish occupied government of the United States has had its puppet government in Germany follow that line all of these years. But the right-wing parties like Golden Dawn in Greece and several right-wing parties in France and England and Sweden and Germany are rising. And Hungary, mm-hmm. we have covered recently the Jobbik party out of Hungary. So we're the ones that are behind the line here, but politically they are more aware, and those countries over in Europe there, those right-wing groups that are now no longer all thrown in jail, even though the leadership of the Golden Dawn in Greece has been thrown in prison, even though its leader had been elected to parliament and was serving in the Greek parliament until a few months ago, when the Jews simply came and said, hey, if Greece wants to come out of this financial predicament that it's in right now, if they want us to prop up the Greek monetary system, you're going to have to lock up the leadership of the Golden Dawn. And so those parliamentarians in Greece went along with that. They are scared of the Jews. But those right-wing parties rising all across Europe are ahead of the curve. They know more about what's at stake than we do, but we have got the biggest advantage of all if we can just get the news out to everybody. The gun show that I just talked about that I attended last Saturday in Pensacola, that's happening all over the country. We are armed to the teeth. And
we have the First and Second Amendment here as well. You're mentioning the guns. Well, that's the Second Amendment. The First Amendment, you could even say our first freedom, the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States,
says we're
allowed to do what we're doing here. What you and I are doing, hell, that's as American as it gets. We're number one. Yeah, we got the
I'm gonna pat you on the back and you pat me on the back, and let's just keep at it. I mean, because that's where it's at. We have got the guns, and if we can wake people up to the fact that we are dangerous and the Jews know it, and because we've got this first freedom, I mean, we've got this First Amendment. Excuse me for getting on my newspaper all the time. We've got the First Amendment that gives us the freedom to speak the truth, and we are speaking it more vociferously now than we have in many decades. It's coming around, and they have got the knowledge in Europe of what comes when you lose your guns, and we have got the guns. So they're praying for us, and we're not praying for them because we don't know enough about them, and that's what Kyle's radio program is about. That's what my newspaper is about. It's making more Americans aware of what's at stake and getting more parties up on their feet, get those boots on the ground out there so that even the media munchkins can't ignore it, that the people will say to the media, oh, why are you not reporting this? They brought 100 people on the street there, and you're giving them one paragraph, whereas over here on the front page you've got all these black athletes and a lot of fiction about who is great and who is nobody. We're not buying that anymore. And as I say, the big daily newspapers are folding. They're desperate. They're throwing out in the people's driveways advertisements for the grocery store ads so that they don't lose the advertising support that they've got, because the grocery stores and all the others are beginning to catch on that the advertising there is not paying off the way it used to.
Olaf, you mentioned China before. And, you know, maybe this is where you were going, but some people worry about the Chinese military being so big. They've got, you know, so many people in their active military, and the United States is spread thin throughout the whole entire world, embroiled in conflict. And it looks like, you know, we could be open for some kind of invasion. That, you know, when people say that kind of thing, you know, they've got a point, a Red Dawn type of scenario. It could happen. But what you mentioned about people having a lot of guns and getting even more guns, well, it just makes any kind of long-term occupation completely untenable as long as people have their minds back, too. It doesn't matter if people have guns, but they're not using their minds and they're not using the First Amendment to spread these messages. That, and then it doesn't matter. If you've got the people's minds conquered, it doesn't even matter that they've got guns. But they're losing control of people's minds now, and people are unwilling to give up their guns. They've been trying hard for many years now, but it is completely ingrained with the American populace that it is essential to protect, especially the First and Second Amendment. Most people in the United States can't even name the rest. So it's the first two that, you know, we should definitely be focusing on here in terms of protecting ourselves and protecting the nation. These are so essential. That's why they're number one and number two. It doesn't matter if you've got the great ideas and the powers that be can come and just shoot you down. You've got to be able to protect yourself and protect your nation from – hell, let's talk about the oath. All enemies foreign and – domestic. Now, there are some groups out there, these hate mongers of the SPLC and the ADL, who think that we are the domestic enemies here in the United States. Well, you know what? We are the real patriots of the United States. And I think that we've got a lot of people who are very close to the kind of understanding that you and I might have, Olaf, but they just have not been able to break completely free from the media. But I'll tell you what, it just takes one good newspaper like you might be producing, one good radio show like we might be producing here at Renegade Broadcasting, and it can flip somebody completely, and they start to see the world in a whole new way.
Yeah, we need to bring up a real network, and that's hard to do because they have end-run around the whole situation. The federal communication system has got it set up so that it's not easy to start a network, either a big radio network or a television network, even a mainstream newspaper. But let me get back to China. Now, my dad was speculating many, many years ago that China would be the big problem. He was dismissing World War II as the big problem because he was simply looking at the head count of how many people were in China. Okay, China needed the United States as when all of our when the laws started being set up so that that they were trying to destroy the United States by offshoring jobs and importing all of these foreigners in here to work for nothing. China was the place where once Richard Nixon, President Richard Nixon, went over there and broke the ice and made the offer to China that here you can come in and set up Walmart and bring your cheap wares in, and this will work fine for the New World Order that's out there. They weren't calling it that at the time. It was years later before they used the name, but it was already being set up in Richard Nixon's time. So China needed to keep America on its feet and buying for this reason. The Chinese themselves have lived, have been overpopulated and living in poverty for so many centuries that they are so conservative about wasting a slice of bread or a paper bag or anything that no matter how much no matter how fast forward they came with their great revolution there under communism, that that they were manufacturing things, they had to have people that would they needed a throwaway society so that they could continue replacing these things constantly to keep their economy going. And they could not do that with their own people because their own people were too self-sufficient. So they needed a place like the United States that would throw things away. And we are that throwaway economy that brought China up and about and to the world power that it has become today. Now, we do need to reassess. We don't need to fear China, but we do need to reassess the fact that they are becoming less dependent on the market here in America.
Oh, yeah. And they've been buying up huge sections.
Hold off.
Have you heard about them buying up huge amounts of land in the United States? And they've been doing this in Africa for a while. They've been going after Africa as a great place for resources. They're basically going into colonial mode now.
They're buying up the world.
Yeah.
Well, if you were the government of China, would you want to hang on to all of those warehouses full of American dollars, or would you want to get something for them? They're backed by nothing, you know. And until they collapse, which will happen soon enough, until those Federal Reserve notes collapse completely, the Chinese want to get something out of those warehouses stacked full that I don't think the rats have started eating on them yet. They're made out of good paper mostly. But they do want to get those warehouses full of dollars traded for something. And they're moving into the United States, buying up real estate. We've got right here in Silver Hill, Alabama, a Chinese-owned service station, the only service station in town, by the way. So there you've got it.
Well, I understand. You know, it makes the libertarian arguments just seem absolutely absurd when you consider what they're seeking here, which is a market economy where it's free markets, open to everyone. We'll just compete on this global market. Where Americans are not in a very good position right now because we've been hobbled for so long. And, it's just ridiculous to think that we should allow the free market, which ends up being pretty much Jewish predatory capitalism or even communism at some levels, to be the rule of the day. This is absolutely erroneous. We cannot have basically... the anarchy that these libertarians want, but that's where a lot of the resistance movement was channeled for so long, was towards these libertarian ideas. And now I don't think that a big government is necessary in terms of a huge bureaucracy. I think we need the freedom. This is or was America. Where I am, it seems sometimes like Mexico, but this was America. It still is in my mind, in my heart. And freedom means being able to basically do as you please and not be hindered by some tyrant, some tyrannical force. And so I don't think that a big nanny state or big brother type of government is what we would seek, but we need a strong, small, efficient government that looks out for the will of its people and doesn't just allow them to be preyed upon by the highest bidder.
Yes, we need a government that does its job. There's no such thing as having no government. This party that you're talking about, it pretty much has its basis right here also in Alabama at Auburn University. Murray Rothbard, Lou Rockwell, these are the people that are pushing along with Ron Paul, that are pushing the libertarian ideal of no government at all. You're dreaming, libertarians. There's no such thing as no government at all. No government means a vacuum, and tyranny will move into that vacuum. Now, I see the mediocrity is folding, and the Jewish media in general are losing credibility, so they're all folding, and we are moving into that vacuum because it is a vacuum. We've got to take the mediocrity. We've got to take it away from them. We don't go after Zog directly. That is the Zionist-occupied government in Washington, D.C. We go after the ZOM, the Zionist-occupied media. Once we have overthrown the ZOM, the ZOG will fall all by itself, a bloodless coup.
Yes.
That's what we've got to have. We don't want to fall into any trap of threatening things that we're not planning to do. We are planning to take over the mediocracy by peaceful means. We're moving into the vacuum that people have created by withdrawing their subscriptions from the big daily newspapers and listening to television that is obviously perverse. So anybody, they're homeschooling their children now, and I'm telling people, if you don't homeschool, at least find a private school somewhere and don't destroy the understanding of your child by sending it to a government institution where it will be indoctrinated into Marxism, because that's all these government institutions are, Marxist indoctrination institutions.
Oh, yeah, the media, the ZOM is complete cultural Marxism. That's all that they will promote. They promote no traditional, classical, or any real values at all. Now, I wanted to ask you if you've heard about this upcoming American Spring that a lot of the alternative media has been getting behind. And this idea is pretty much exactly the opposite of what you said. They want to surround the Zog. Well, they're not going to call it the Zog, because I think this could be very much a controlled opposition. But they want to surround Washington, D.C., and I guess around the perimeter, these people would be armed, and then they'd have an unarmed, peaceful march through the city, and this is supposed to be coming up in May, I think. But I don't think that's a good idea. I think your idea is the right idea, is that if we take over the Zionist-occupied media, if we take them down and completely beat them out, which is what is happening, especially online, where some of our articles are getting way bigger than any of the Zog articles, I think that this is the approach that will yield real lasting results. And what they'd prefer us to do is kind of go the Ukrainian revolution model, or the Egyptian revolution model, or any of these other controlled revolutions, even going back to the communist revolution or any of the communist revolutions that have happened in the past. We need to have the real revolution, and it does start with a revolution of the mind, not just the revolution of violence in the streets. You've got to be able to basically have a people whose brains are actually thinking, actually working, are operating on a correct understanding to have a successful revolution, or else they're going to take the revolution. They've done this so many times in the past, and turn it against the people themselves. They're going to take the people's natural inclination to rise up against oppressive tyranny, and they're going to institute something worse afterwards. So we've got to be sure to be there in order to provide something that is good, stable, new, and right for us. Now, I wanted to get your opinion, or rather your worldview, in terms of, I guess, political or social order.
Well, I'm saying that we need to have our own white government. I know this sounds very radical when we publish this repeatedly in the pages of the First Freedom, that we don't want Jews in government. We want to expose everything that they have done, all the wars that they've gotten us into. We can quote names and what they did, whom they supported, and we can go to Jewish sources themselves and show that Jews should not participate in our government. Benjamin Franklin pleaded at the convention in Philadelphia when they wrote the United States Constitution that he said, "I beg you, gentlemen, not to let these people become American citizens. Do not let them in. The Jews," he said, "are Asiatics, and they will simply do here what they have done in all the countries of Eastern Europe to date." So what we're saying in the pages of the First Freedom is that the Jew will continue to do what the Jew has done. And the only way you can know what the Jew has done is once the Jew no longer controls all of the major media. So that's what we're doing. We're bringing out the fact that the Jews are behind all of the wars that we have been involved in. George Washington said, let us be outside of Europe's struggles between themselves, all the different countries. We want nothing to do with those foreign intrigues. We will defend these shores. These shores have never been threatened by any foreign government. They are threatened now by people pouring in across, mainly across the Mexican border, but also across the Canadian border once they come in from the Orient into Canada up there in British Columbia. So that's what we're up against. We've got a Zionist occupied government, and it simply shocks people to know this. Now, another group...
Well, and also really quickly, Olaf, it shocks people to understand that a whole lot of those poor, downtrodden Mexicans who have flooded into the country, oh, they just want a better life, these tens and tens of millions who they're trying to pass amnesty for, and this is being supported on both sides of the aisle, these people aren't necessarily so peaceful. They very much, many of them, have the ideology of La Raza printed into their brains, and they do not view the gringo so kindly as the gringo views the mestizo. If you get what I'm saying here, people don't understand that this race war that many people think is coming up began long time ago. And the first shots were fired, at least in recent history, in the 60s. And now it's just been assault upon assault and white people retreating for many, many decades now. And I think it's very exciting to be seeing something of a resurgence, a push back, as people finally understand that they're being attacked, that their way of life, that their very existence is being threatened by invaders.
Yes, and those invaders have invaded even the federal government. We've got, for instance, Senator Marco Rubio, U.S. Senator Marco Rubio from your state of Florida. He was the target of the League of the South's March the 8th gathering in Tallahassee. His amnesty bill passed the Senate last June, and we don't want amnesty for all these people, and we don't want Florida Senator Marco Rubio to be elected by all of these illegal immigrants, which he is bringing into Florida for the purpose of re-electing him. Now, it's true that our jails are filling up with criminal Mexicans, Hondurans, etc. But I say this: we should not really get ourselves up in a lather, hating or fearing these elements, such as the Jews, the Mexicans, all of the ones that are causing these problems in the country. We should get upset with ourselves. The government that we want is a government of and by ourselves. And when I say ourselves, I'm not talking about all the whites. I may be talking about 10% of the whites, and a great many of that 10% are listening to this show right now and are reading The First Freedom. But the other 90%, they're not all white, of course. That other 90% will go along with whatever happens. They will apply for whatever government programs are available for them to get something for nothing. And they will go whichever way the wind blows, and they will complain because it didn't blow the way that the politicians had promised that it would blow. And from among our 10%, all white, no Jews, just right. We will be the government of this country, and the other people will appreciate the fact that we have brought order back, that we have returned to constitutional government. And here you'll find that the League of the South that was protesting last month down in, a month before last down in Florida, you will find that they are not for the federal government in any way. They are not trying to fight for the rights of people in Idaho and Arizona and in Texas and all over. Well, excuse me, let me bring Texas back in. They are for the South, and they are saying secede, and they are demonstrating only in the southern states. They had a sign up when they had that demonstration within view of the Capitol in Tallahassee. They had a sign up, a billboard I'm talking about, in addition to all their small signs that they were carrying. They had a full-size billboard put up a month ahead of time. It had one word, S-E-C-E-D-E. And nobody has interfered with that sign, and nobody has interfered with their gatherings, because people are beginning to come around, and they are understanding that there is a battle, whether they're personally taking part in it or not. They appreciate these few boots on the ground. Well, again, your idea of every third Saturday, Kyle, I think that's great. I think the people that have got these banners and signs, they don't want to throw them away, and they don't want to put them in the attic. So instead of investing in new banners and new signs, all they got to do is every third Saturday break them back out. And as I say, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in Richmond is a great place to go, folks.
Well, Olaf, I really do think that the League of the South is doing some good things. And I'll tell you what, down here in Florida, even though a lot of people might not be participating in the League of the South and actively getting out there, I see a whole lot of rebel flags, and I see them on four-wheelers. I see them on cars. I see them in backyards, you know, and this is in, neighborhoods that have a lot of Mexicans in them or some blacks too. People fly
the rebel flag all over.
And a lot of people don't understand that Florida actually has a large white population. It's just in the southern part where you get the huge amount of Cubans and Puerto Ricans and Jews. And, in the upper part, there's a huge amount of Germanic people, blondes, lots and lots of blondes in Florida. It's just now diversity is really starting to take over the entirety of Florida. It's very sad to see, but it's good to see that a lot of these people down here still have a bit of a rebellious spirit. I want to get your take on, as a Southerner, what that flag means to you and what maybe the Confederacy really stood for in your view, because some people will argue because the Confederacy had some Jews in their government that was completely corrupt, and because it seemed to be protecting the institution of slavery, and that's what a lot of people think that the war was solely fought over, they think that even though Lincoln might have been a tyrant waging an aggressive war, they also don't view the Confederacy very favorably. I want to understand where you're coming from on this subject. You like the Confederate flag? I'll tell you what, I like it too. I think that the Confederate flag and the American flag are both patriotic symbols in some ways. Right now, the American flag is just so tarnished and disgusting that I'm definitely not going to be flying it anytime soon. But the rebel flag, it shows a bit of ire at what the American flag has been up to. How do you view it?
Yes, well, I am for waving the battle flag, and they're waving the battle flag in Hungary and different places over there. It has become a worldwide symbol. All of the European countries are familiar with the battle flag. And the same way that they dodged any criticism of Obama for several years is because he's black. They have dodged trying to defend their arguments against the battle flag, which is not hurting anybody. If the First Amendment still applies, why should anybody be troubled by a symbol such as the battle flag? Here they bring out Martin Luther King and those people that have taken his place, and because they're colored and they are arguing about the battle flag, they even took away the word Heart of Dixie down here in on the license plates in Alabama at the behest of black state senator Alvin Holmes up in Selma, Alabama. The League of the South has brought a new battle flag that most people are not familiar with yet, and that's something we're trying to clear up, because people have repeatedly asked me, why do you not have the battle flag at the top of page one anymore, and you've got the Alabama flag up there? And I reply to them, and I've repeated that on the letters page, but they're slow. They're just not catching on that fast, that many people, that the League of the South has introduced a new battle flag, and we call it the Black Flag, and that is not the Alabama flag that you see at the top of page one now. That is the Black Flag. It's the Black St. Andrew's Cross, which, because the First Freedom is a black and white newspaper, we don't have the money for a colored newspaper. It's a black newspaper on white newsprint, and it has the same St. Andrew's Cross, the same as Alabama, only it's not red as is the Alabama flag. It is black, and that is our defiance flag. We fly it alongside the battle flag to try to get people slowly introduced to it. You go to one of these League of the South demonstrations against our demographic displacement, such as the one that takes place in Richmond tomorrow morning, and you will see that black flag flown. You will also see the battle flags flown. You will also see the Virginia flag flown, which is the picture of a boot on a fallen giant in armor, and it says, let's see, it's the Latin word for the way of all tyrants, sic semper tyranni. So you've got different flags, and I'm for whatever constitutional government that comes along. Right now, we've got to fight for a legal government, which we haven't had since 1861. And I don't care whether it's the Confederate Constitution or the United Constitution or whatever Constitution. I would say let the people here locally start with an Alabama Constitution, and Alabama senators and legislators that are out from under the mediocracy's thumb and answering to the people, not to the Jews, and then let us renegotiate our compact with the neighboring states. And if it were left to me, if I were alongside Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin proposing how the Constitution should be worded, I would first of all say, let us not make any permanent treaty or constitution. Let it expire annually on its birthday, and the people vote, the qualified white people vote up or down for all the laws and all of the officers of the law, and all the laws and all the officers will stand or fall each year by that vote. The ones that fall are out of it, and they are temporarily replaced by those that do not fall or their assigns. Naturally, if three departments are without a head, and only one department remains that the people trust, well, then they will also trust him to appoint three heads of the other three departments where the heads of those departments have fallen. And when the laws fall, they're no longer enforceable, of course.
Olaf, we have somebody calling in from your state. Actually, he's in Birmingham. From Birmingham, I believe this would be Jeb here. First, I wanted to say it shows that I'm a Yankee calling it the rebel flag. It's not because of any real bias other than I was brought up in the North, perhaps. But of course, you're calling it the battle flag, and that's the proper term for it. But I'm going to bring on Jeb from Alabama here and see what he has to say. Jeb, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing? I'm certainly glad to hear you've got Olaf Childress on there. He's a very well-informed man. How you doing, Mr. Childress?
I'm doing great, Jeb. How's everything up in Birmingham?
Oh, about as well as can be expected when you're surrounded by a bunch of coons.
Well, but before you come with your question for me, I haven't heard from you in over a year, Jeb. You were handing papers out with me when I was arrested 3 years ago, and you as a subscriber know that my case against the Montgomery Police Department, it was accepted by the Montgomery. After the city of Montgomery court, the municipal court, dropped its charges against me after they threw me in jail, and then I turned around and brought charges against the city of Montgomery. The circuit court gave me the right to a jury trial, and then they have stalled for 3 years. So that's where we are now, Jeb. And now you can come with your question. I just wanted to first let people know who you were.
Yes, sir. That was the exact issue that I wanted to bring up, is that I understand that the position we need to take is to build a network amongst ourselves. But how would we deal with those of that are supposed to be on our side that undermine us? Now, a lot of people don't realize that it was actually the Sons of Confederate Veterans that sicked those dogs on you and had them cart you out of there. How would you suggest we deal with those amongst ourselves in our own ranks that are not completely on board, I should say?
Jeb, the way that we've got to deal with that is information. We don't want to upset the members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. The SCV has existed ever since the invasion of the South, and there are some very patriotic men in there, and we sometimes think we know who the moles are there that are doing damage, but if we go against them, that's playing into the hands of the Montgomery Advertiser, the big daily newspaper that is a part of the Mediocracy there in Montgomery, Alabama, the capital. So rather than play into the hands of the Mediocracy, in this case via the Montgomery Advertiser, at that time when the city of Montgomery threw me in jail, I refused to take the bait and say anything evil about the Sons of Confederate Veterans, because when we stood in that municipal court, which dropped its charges when they saw they were going nowhere with me, that they were not going to make any mileage, that I was not going to defame the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Information is what we've got to get out. We've got these moles anywhere you go. Now, we did make big news out of the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center's agent, Bill Cox, whom I had considered for several years a personal friend, he was attending all of these different functions. He was at our meetings up at Fort Dixie by outside of Selma every summer, where we cut watermelon and eat ice cream and play country music on the porch there. He was always there, and we were questioning why he never brought his wife, or why we never heard from her. And he was always making some excuses, buzzing away on his motorcycle, And he even organized a motorized group that were supposedly, well, they were all with us, but he was the plant from the Southern Poverty Law Center. We found out later through a lawyer friend of mine that he was married to the woman who writes the so-called intelligence report for the SPLC. And once we found that out and published that, he slithered away, and we haven't seen him since. That was, that's now about 4 years ago.
Yes, sir. I remember reading that extensively in your publication. So am I to take it to mean that we should expose individuals but not defame organizations?
We need to expose the individuals when they are with such nefarious organizations as the Southern Poverty Law Center. But when they are officers of the when they are junior officers of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, we tread softly there and hope that the members themselves will elect replacements for them by figuring it out for themselves. We don't want to play into that trap of defaming any of our own groups. We champion the Sons of Confederate Veterans. We champion the Council of Conservative Citizens, and we champion the League of the South. All of these people that have got boots on the ground, we write up their story in a way that does proud the people that are doing what Kyle Hunt is doing with his White Man March. Everything starts off small. Giant oaks grow from small acorns. And as I say, the momentum is with us because the mediocrity is folding. So it's a waiting game right now. And we do not fear being taken out by them. If they took me out tomorrow, the First Freedom would continue. I mean, we've got precautions in place. And we simply are hanging in there and playing a waiting game at this time. I get feeders from different people pretending to be with us that I very strongly suspect are not with us. And even when they come and use the J word occasionally, I still wonder exactly what it is, because we're dealing with people that are so sly. They are so savvy in what they do that they are looking so many chess plays ahead of us honest, simple folks that are playing checkers, that we have to allow them their a little leeway. In a way, I even kind of admire the Jews for doing what they do, because they're simply doing what Jews do, and that's the message we've got to get out there, that we don't want to hate and we don't want to fear any of these people that are making all the problems. We simply want to get the information out there about what they're doing, and if we're going to be angry with anybody, because when you get angry, you lose control of your actions, of your thinking, of your planning. So don't get angry. Get informed. And when you see what they're doing and how you can counter it, do so without taking the bait. When I see everybody drawn into these, they're getting into a lather, some of them are, against Obama. That fruitcake and the White House is nothing. I mean, he is zero, and but he does read his teleprompter well. I give him credit for that. He's doing exactly what I would do if I were him, and the blacks around the country are doing exactly what I would do if I were them. If I had no talent at all, and no prospects for gaining a real education, and freebies were available for cooperating with the Jewish program, I would cooperate with the Jewish program because that would at least allow me to continue waddling in and out of the McBurr joint. All these obese people that are not working, simply drawing their government checks.
Jim,
well, sir,
go ahead.
So what else, Jim, can you contribute today?
Well, I'd just like to say that I appreciate what you're doing, and you can expect to get my renewal fee probably next week. But Kyle asked you what the Confederate battle flag meant to you as a Southerner. And as a fellow Southerner, I would like to just state that to me, that flag means freedom, the freedom of my people from a foreign tyranny. And on that note, Kyle, you can go ahead and mute me because I got some children crying in the background, and I'm going to listen, continue to listen. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Jeb. Well, I just wanted to add that, you know, I don't ever expect Southerners to ever view me as a Southerner because I'm not one. Because I've come from the Northeast. That's where I was born and raised. So I don't speak like a Southerner. I don't have the same kind of upbringing as a Southerner. And all I can say is that I support what Southerners are doing in trying to free themselves from tyranny. And I respect their use of that flag. I just wanted to know, what the current understanding is. And it seems like a lot of the people who might be using the flag might not fully understand what it means. Or I'm just talking about the people who might have it, on their license plate. Or maybe they're just not yet on the same page in terms of the entire worldview. But if that is the case, if everybody's starting to be on the same page, and that's why they're using that using the flag, I think that is a very positive sign because it shows that a whole lot of people are just rejecting what this federal tyranny is all about in terms of just enforcing diversity everywhere, trying to steal away all the vestiges of freedom in this country and taxing everybody to hell, then I'm all on board and I'll support what any Southern group is trying to do for their independence. And I really like the Southern states and the Southern people. I just sure hope that the Northeastern intellectuals start to pull their heads out of the sand or maybe someplace else and start to screw it on straight because these people are using their brains for all the wrong things and don't seem to understand the reality for people around the country, people around the world, and people in the South in particular, and yet sit in judgment of them.
Yeah, well, we don't want to compare apples with oranges, nor we don't want to compare Europeans with Asians. We are the white people that have established the government that we had up until the 60s. And I'm like you. I'm not trying to be regional. I'm simply saying that I am an Alabamian, and I would like to see Alabama get on its feet. I would like to see Ohio and Connecticut and New York get on their feet and out from under the Zug, because self-government begins at home. And there's no excuse for pretending that these predictable Jews are gonna cease their overreaching. So it's high time that we stop bowing under their political correctness yoke. We've got to meet that challenge. We've got to get a handle on those fanatics, and we've got to remember who we are. Because there's no other way around it than to get the information out there and agree on what the truth is. And we are for the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. And that's not what the mediocrity is for. The mediocrity is for the survival and retirement of each one of its participants. This power of the purse and of the press, they have captured one amendment after another ever since that 14th Amendment, which gave the control of all of the states to Washington, D.C. That is their that's their modus operandi up there in the ZOG. They get people to go along. They get their apparatchiks to go along with it, and then these get elected, and they sway the gullible public into believing things like the Holocaust, which never happened. And we're going to make that quite clear. Ingrid Zundel is going to make that quite clear in the May issue of the First Freedom, that the Holocaust never happened, and that Hitler was a man, just like you and I. He was not a demon, and he was simply trying to get the Jewish yoke off the top of the German people after that Versailles Treaty.
The truth's coming out. It is. I think it's amazing. People are watching all these YouTube videos, listening to all these radio shows, reading the articles. They're very interested in finding the truth. And when it's finally presented in a clear, coherent manner, it's just able to resonate so well with so many different people out there. And it's just amazing to see what's going on now. And I've got great hope for the future. I've got great expectations, rather, for the future. Olaf, we have a few other callers on the line. I'm going to bring them on and see if they have any questions for you. I think this will be William Krieger.
Holy shit.
Okay. I might be back here. We'll see. Olaf, are you there? Olaf. Hello, Olaf. Well, I can't hear him. Olaf, are you there? We'll try picking up this caller here. 254.
I'm just listening right now, Kyle.
All right. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a clip here. I'm going to play a clip from some people who wanted to congratulate me on the success of the White Man March. I'm going to play this clip here. Maybe we'll get Olaf back.
Guest 95 asked, what do you guys think of the White Man March? And asked if anybody here participated.
I think Kyle, what's his name, is a fucking faggot. I think the White Man March is a fucking joke. I mean,
all right. Well, maybe we'll get to that later. We've got Olaf back in the line. Olaf,
I'm sorry, I got cut off.
All right. Well, no,
okay.
I got cut off
too,
Olaf.
That caller was a joke.
Well, yeah, no, that wasn't a caller. That was somebody on an Aryan Nations radio show. Who didn't seem to understand anything about the White Man March. But, yeah, that I was just going to play that clip there until you got back. I've had a lot of criticism concerning the White Man March by a whole lot of people of different groups, and it sure showed me a lot about where people's minds really are and how much of a problem it's been doing anything in the recent past. Because all of these different separate groups just seem to hate each other and don't want to work with anyone and would much rather trash everybody else than actually do anything constructive. I know there's infiltration. I know there's subversion. But it's just very depressing oftentimes to see how trivial or rather
people
how juvenile sometimes people can be. What has been your experience over the years trying to get things going in this movement? Can you tell us a little bit about how it's been trying to accomplish big things for our people here?
Well, we're doing what we've got to keep doing, and as I say, keeping the boots on the ground is where it's all at. And naturally, the White Man March is going to get some criticism, but I think this is an excellent idea of yours to meet every third Thursday and
Saturday.
Saturday, that's what I mean, every third Saturday, and just keep on allowing people to slowly gather around it. Nothing ever starts from nothing. You've got to give it time, and as I say, we are in a waiting game now. The opposition is collapsing, and we are going to be only 10% of the population. But 1% of the top of the population is what has brought us down to where this country is now. And so even though they are so sly in controlling the money and the media, we have got to be patient, and we've got to avoid fighting among ourselves, even while we keep a little bit of suspicion that this one or that one may be a mole, like it said on one of those battalion shields over in Germany there in the army, they shall be known by their deeds alone. And we did have this Bill Cox, who was with the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that was right here in my home. He was with me in the courtroom in Silver Hill when I was being tried, because I was the only one that refused to cooperate at a police state roadblock right here at Silver Hill. I've been doing this thing in different ways, just like you're doing it in different ways, like Mike Weaver is doing it in different ways now. He's down there in your area and attending most of these League of the South things, and he's writing articles for the First Freedom. He spent a year in prison, was framed when he sprayed pepper spray in the face of two blacks that were trying to hijack his pickup truck, and they didn't like him because he had been passing out copies of the American Free Press and the First Freedom and some other literature there. So you've got these people that want to stay on the good side of the ZOG because that's where their retirement pay is expected to come from. But these Federal Reserve notes, this fiat money that is backed by nothing, is going to collapse. It's only held up right now by the good graces of China and possibly Russia and a few others. But they're going to desert the dollars, and they're going to collapse. And then all of these people that thought they had a retirement check lined up are going to be looking to see which side they're going to join of people that have got boots on the ground. And if you check out how many Jews have got boots on the ground, you'll find that it's pretty near zero. Mm-hmm. As I say, they work out of slyness and not out of actually being there.
Well, one of the hit pieces that was written against the White Man March was from Counterpunch, and it was by a Jew named Mike King. And he said at the end there that as far as boots on the ground and dedication and winning the hearts and minds of people and being militarily prepared, our people are way ahead of these so-called liberals, these people who are limp-wristed, thinking that they're running the country right now, when they don't have any kind of popular support amongst the majority of the country. They've been trying to cozy up to the minorities for so long, and the Republicans are doing this now too. And the majority, the white people, the regular people that they always try to malign in any way possible and put down through their TV and movies, well, these people are getting a little ticked off, and they don't like their constitutionally protected rights being stripped from them just at a moment's notice at the executive order of the mulatto in chief.
Yes, as I say, we've simply got to stick together and wait patiently until our movement is more visible, because the majority of the people out there, that's what they're doing. They're waiting without a plan. We are waiting with a plan. We know what we want. We want a constitutional government. And again, as I say, I don't care what size of territory or what number of people it is. I want our people to be in charge of that government. I don't want any foreigners in there. I don't want these Russian Jews having any part in our government. And I know that this may shock some of the people that subscribe to the First Freedom, even, and people that listen to this program, that I would say such a thing as that the possibility exists, even, of a government which forbids Jews, practicing Jews, to participate in that government. I say every idea has to start somewhere, and a giant oak grows from a tiny acorn. So right now, even though we're few, and even though these where we're gathering people together, whether you want to call it a march, the white man march, or the demonstration to against the displacement of our people, we've got to become so visible that the people out there that have a hard time deciding anything that's for real, I mean, they can decide what TV program they want to watch, but deciding anything that's for real, that becomes so difficult for them that they are waiting to see. And as I say, we can't expect more than 10% of the people, of the total population, to understand what we're doing and to actively take part in it. The other 90%, most of them, will do nothing. They will wait to see who is going to control the government. And
yeah,
whether that government be small, one state, one county, whatever, I say let's first of all think about our confederations, whether it be a United States or or three states that have agreed that they're going to mutually defend themselves against foreign invasion, military foreign invasion, or illegal immigrant foreign invasion, even if it's vigilante. And here again, that's going to shock some people. Hey, you can't use the word vigilante. That word has been so demonized by the people that have invented such words as racism and homophobia.
Right.
You just don't use a word like vigilanteism, and yet the vigilantes were what ended the Reconstruction, because the blacks were marauding, they were raping and killing, they had gone completely wild, and I can understand that they had reverted to their, without any control of the plantations, that they had reverted to their desperation, which is native to them. And they had to eat, and they had to find release for their passions. And the only way that that was brought under control was by vigilantes. And when the Wild West was won, before you had a U.S. Marshal out there, you had vigilantes that simply would not stand for some bunch of three or four rowdies to ride into town and scare everybody and take over the saloon. They would go out to some influential rancher's place and lay a plan, and soon those troublemakers would be going to another town, or they would be swinging at the end of a rope. And it was only later that you had a U.S. Marshal come in. But that's the way it happens when you have no government at all. You need vigilantes.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point there. And the the media would like us to think that the vigilantes after the Civil War, the original Ku Klux Klan, were the ultimate bad guys, that these people were just going out and just finding any Negro they could and hanging them from a tree. What they don't understand was the real story of the carpetbaggers, many of them Jews, coming down from the north basically raping the South, both metaphorically and literally in some instances, because of how disenfranchised the Southerners had become after losing the War of Northern Aggression, and just what the blacks were doing at that time. It was actually a very small number of people in total, and some of it was white people, too, who were breaking the law that our people have recognized for a long time. It doesn't necessarily matter what's on the books with the federal government, but the law have gone around raping, stealing, pillaging. These people were dealt with, and it deterred any further actions. And there is that statistic that in 6 months, there is as many black people killed by other blacks as was done in the entire 86 years of the Ku Klux Klan with their lynchings. This was just justice that was taking place because nobody else was going to do it. And we see it going on now with courts giving excuses for the youths playing the knockout game. And they don't seem to be applying the hate crimes laws in a racially neutral manner, meaning that, of course, if a white person ever touches anybody who's non-white or is a homosexual, then it's a hate crime. But when anybody attacks a white person, calls them a cracker, does whatever, it doesn't matter. It's never going to be a hate crime because this entire system is set up as an anti-white system. So, of course, vigilante justice is probably going to be the only thing that keeps this violence in check. I'm not necessarily advocating for people to go out and do anything to right the wrongs of this country, other than, well, getting active.
Yes, we don't want armed conflict. And these groups that are gathering around Washington D.C. and encouraging people to come with their guns and make threats, I don't encourage that. It's fine to. The propaganda that we put and the First Freedom here, just letting people know that we are armed and ready, but we don't want to go threatening to use the weapons against any particular people right now, except in self-defense. So the vigilanteism that we need now is just being alert and ready. We don't want to do anything until it's justified, until it's absolutely necessary. Following the so-called Civil War, those vigilantes were very few, and the blacks who had to be brought under control were comparatively few. The most of the blacks were the victims of Lincoln's war. They simply, even given 40 acres and a mule, they didn't know how to handle it. Just like in Rhodesia right now, you've got all of those white farmers that were feeding. That was the breadbasket of Africa while the whites were in charge. But now that Mugabe has taken over the country, Rhodesia, and renamed it Zimbabwe, that is, the international mediocracy renamed it Zimbabwe, because people like Mugabe didn't know anything about the history of the country. So there you've got these vigilantes that come when they must come forward. And we are the vigilantes at the moment that are vigilant. That's all it means, is that we are awake while the public is still dozing and they're hypnotized by the television. I say the television is much more dangerous than the atomic bomb. The atomic bomb is a weapon that nobody will dare to use because it's mutually assured destruction. So they're not going to use those atomic bombs. Much more dangerous than the atomic bomb is the television. Vigilantes, I say vigilantes, be ready. Stay vigilant and be ready. After the so-called Civil War, you had the blacks that were simply helpless. They could not feed themselves, and it was a situation that had to be brought under some kind of a control. How it was done was explained more or less in Gone with the Wind, where Clark Gable came in with his friend who had been shot on such a vigilante raid of some kind, and they pretended that he was drunk so that those Yankee soldiers, occupation troops, would leave, and then they could dress his wounds. But that briefly explained what was happening at the time when the South had been destroyed, just like Germany has been destroyed twice after the First World War and after the Second World War. And except for those brief 10 years that Adolf Hitler brought order to that country, that country has been desperate. They have needed vigilantes. Isn't it amazing, Kyle, that that we had Russia as an ally against Germany to come in and take half of Poland, and the Germans took the other half of Poland? And Germany was threatening none of us. Germany did not declare war on France and England. France and England declared war on Germany because Germany went in to right some wrongs in those countries where Germans were already settled, in East Prussia and in several other countries around there. And they realized that the Jewish Bolshevism, which had been born in World War One, and Russia was intending, they had stated as much, they were intending to overrun Europe and rule the world under a communist system. So to stave that off, this was simply a tactic on the part of Adolf Hitler and his generals when they sent Ribbentrop, I believe that was his name, up to Moscow and dealt with Molotov. And they signed that pact that would divide Poland. Now, Poland was hardly ever, for any length of time, a real country. Poland has always been, its borders have been overrun from this side and that side, and they have in turn overrun other borders. Poland is the place where the Jews first entered from the steppes of Asia and southeastern Russia. And settled into Poland. And so we had, as our ally, fighting against Germany, that is, it was England and France's ally against Germany, the country that had overrun half of Poland, and the justification for declaring war, that is, I'm talking about France and England, the justification for declaring war on Germany was that Germany had crossed the Polish border and they had promised the Poles that if they would resist, they would come to the Polish defense. Well, they didn't come to Polish defense. They was,
right.
That was simply to get, that was the Jews that were in control of the government in London and the Rothschild banks in Paris and London. That was their way to get the war started.
Mm-hmm.
They had not finished with the Bolshevik Revolution that overran Russia. They had not finished with their program, and with the Rothschild banks in Paris and London taking over the governments by bringing them into debt, taking over the governments of England and France. That was what they were after. World War One was not enough. It's never enough for the Jews.
Well, you're right about the hypocrisy there, in that they're saying that the reason they had to wage war against Germany was because Germany invaded Poland. when the Soviet Union did exactly the same thing, but they're just perfectly acceptable allies, and they also invaded Finland. Nobody seems to talk about that. You've got these wars of aggression going on when actually what Germany was doing was very much a defensive war in terms of rescuing its people, the ethnic Germans, from the persecution that they were facing as ethnic minorities in Poland. Poland was treating the ethnic Germans in absolutely miserable ways, and they're just disgusting stories of what was happening to them. Poland was absolutely belligerent leading up to World War II because they knew, or they thought,
because
rather,
they were encouraged by the Brits and the French that they would come to their rescue, which they did not do.
Exactly, and they just the Jewish powers just wanted to spark that war to destroy Germany because Germany was becoming very economically successful, and it was challenging the global finance system that was set up basically through the British Empire, but in fact it was a Yiddish empire, and in collusion with these other countries. But it was one gigantic system of Jewish finance based on international capitalism, meaning usury and fiat currencies. And Germany wanted no part, and they showed a different way. They showed the correct path for a healthy nation to pursue. And because they were setting such a shining example that could, well, probably be emulated, they had to be completely taken out. And when I say emulated, not everybody could do what the Germans did. It has to do with the ethnic stock that was there as well. But it could have very well taken hold in America because we have a whole lot of Germanic stock here and also some of the other genetic greatness of the European peoples. And we still do. As much as they've tried to degenerate us and bring us down, we still have a whole lot of amazing examples of the white race here in America. And I'm just expecting big things from them. And I know you are as well. It looks like we have a caller here that might want to be brought on the show. Hello, caller. Are you looking to ask a question here, or are you just listening? It looks like they're just listening. Caller, you there? All right, they're probably just listening. Olaf, let's begin to wrap this up here. Any final thoughts as to what people can do or should do to be active in our struggle and some of the best avenues to pursue? And also then just tell us a bit more about what we can expect from the First Freedom in the future.
Well, the First Freedom will continue doing what it's doing now. And as I say, it is a waiting game. Controlling the media is what that was all about during World War II. 90% of the population of the United States were not allowed to understand what we were just talking about. You had that invasion of Poland went on into Ukraine, and everywhere the German soldiers went, they were welcomed with open arms, except for the few Jews that were being deposed from the government and getting out of there. So disinformation has overtaken this country. That's why we went into both of those world wars. That's why we went into Iraq. So what people can do is help us to get the word out at least to the 10% of people that can do something and will do something. And the 90%, some portion of the 90% of the people out there, they are going to have doubts about those perverse television programs that they're now watching that are advocating anything except decency, anything except truth, and that are simply teaching them to be afraid that somebody is going to throw a word at them like racist, homophobe, or something like that. What we can do is educate the people with leaflets, with demonstrations, with letters to the editor, because you've still got all of these weekly newspapers out there that will publish your letters. And we at the First Freedom, at our monthly newspaper, will publish your letters. Let me repeat one more time how to subscribe to this paper, because that's one thing people can do. They can distribute the First Freedom. We send out boxes of 100 copies to a number of distributors that spread them out across the country, especially at these events. That's the best place to pass them out, in fact, at places like gun shows and events where our kind of people gather. You need to have the First Freedom and some of these other tabloid newspapers. To subscribe to the First Freedom, again, write this down. Send $25 cash, check, or money order, because we don't deal with any other system, and send that to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576. That's $25 for 12 issues. And I appreciate you allowing me to come on your show here, because we do need to work together. We need the airwaves and the ink to be working together, supporting one another, because we never know when an opening is going to come along. And the Internet also is a good place where you can get the word out. But there, again, you've got to watch for all these plants. We, in a recent issue of the paper here, we have pointed out how our people were misled up there in Sandy Hook. A lot of our people were taking the bait that was put online, that nothing even happened at Sandy Hook. And those of our people who sometimes look a little bit too closely into stuff that's just floating on the Internet out there without confirming where it's coming from, and then they themselves send it out to their entire lists, and then the mediocrity comes along and says, look, this is what those conspiracy theorists are saying. They're saying that no kids got killed at Sandy Hook. And they're saying that at the Boston Marathon that was ketchup spread on the pavement there, that those were just actors. So you've got to be careful about falling into disinformation.
Well,
and
hold on, Olaf. Well, don't you think that the Holocaust was a time when they pretended like 6 million exactly Jews died, but they falsified the event to play upon public sympathies? Don't you think that they would be willing to do certain things like that today?
Yeah, yes, they would. They would be capable of many things that are happening today. They would be capable of a false flag at Sandy Hook. But in this case, it was not a false flag. That really was a deranged young man who went in there and shot 20 children and several teachers. They used that as a false flag and spreading disinformation on the Internet, because the police reports, the police are always slow about concluding their investigations, and so the press is always feeding on anything and that they can get their hands on. They're interviewing everybody. But the people that were falling for these baited false leads to discredit the so-called conspiracy theorists, because the mediocrity wants to say there is no conspiracy, it's just conspiracy theorists. And they're very slick at this, so we've got to be careful. And that's why I say we need to get more newspapers like the First Freedom out there, and more radio programs like the one you're listening to. We need to make people more aware of these things with leaflets, newspapers, demonstrations, signboards that we hold up, and get attention wherever you can, and letters to the editor. Slowly, slowly, with patience, we're going to win this war. We are winning it. The tide is turning. But the mediocrity at its height immediately after 9/11, the mediocrity at its height could do anything. They could get us to go in and attack a sovereign government, and they have caused us to go in and murder, or caused to be murdered, even sodomized in the case of Libya, the elected legitimate government heads of those countries. The way they could do that was with the momentum that they've got. They've still got much momentum, even though people are walking away from them. And that's what the people can do that are listening to this program. They can help us to get more momentum. Go out there yourself, and you don't have to say a word. Just go out there and stand beside Kyle or Dr. Hill or any of the people that are putting troops on the ground, and be seen, be heard. Write letters to the editor. Distribute boxfuls of the First Freedom. And slowly, slowly, we're winning. It's just not noticeable yet because, as I say, they were at the peak of their power when they pulled off 9/11. And we know, we conspiracy theorists know and have proven in many different ways, we have proven who all knew what and when they knew it. And those people simply want to be careful right now. They've already committed themselves. They can't come over to our side. That's mm-hmm. that's not possible for them. They have committed themselves. They want to stay alive. We are making so bold in the pages of the First Freedom as to remind people month after month that they have a date with the Nuremberg precedent. It will happen. And when it will happen, I also say from time to time, whether in your lifetime or mine or not, it will happen. And the people that are now, that now have a date with Nuremberg, that is, with a Nuremberg-type tribunal, wherever convened, those people are scared right now, and they have no choice. They can't switch sides. They have no choice. They're totally committed to the Zug, the worldwide Zug. And that's where they have to stay. As the whole thing crumbles. So they don't enjoy what they've got. You see a photograph every once in a while of George Bush, and if you look, the corners of his mouth are turned down and not up the way they were when he landed in a helicopter on the deck of that aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf. His mouth is sort of twisted now, and he can't go anywhere in public. They have to stage these things very carefully. All of these appearances by Obama and Bush and people like that and their book signings are staged, and security forces keep us out. So it's simply a staged TV show, and the people that don't know any better, they eat it up. They turn on that TV, and they watch TV, some of them, for 20 hours a day. They know nothing else.
Yeah, well, you know, the TV is used for so much misinformation, disinformation, outright lies, left and right. That's why I don't myself believe the official narrative of Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing, but I don't want that to be a divisive issue tonight. We've already hit on so many important points that, you know, really can't be refuted. And I think that oftentimes some of these events out there that have all these different theories about what actually took place are there in order to distract us from ever really having any kind of cohesion or unity as to what really is important. And they want us just examining these events over and over again. And, of course, the Sandy Hook event was used as a justification to take away Second Amendment rights against the people in Connecticut, the residents of Connecticut. I think that, you know, people should look into everything for themselves, never automatically trust what the mainstream media is putting out there, not trust what the alternative media is putting out as well. Just go into everything with a discerning mind. And with that, Olaf, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Your website.
I appreciate being here, Kyle.
Well, it was a pleasure having you. Your website is firstfreedom.net, and that's where people can go to check out what you have to offer. And it's $25 for 12 issues of the First Freedom, 1 year of the First Freedom. So a little bit over $2 an issue for a 24-page newspaper. And people, if you're interested in donating to what we have going over at RenegadeBroadcasting.com, I'd urge you to do that as well. But it sounds like a good deal for the First Freedom, an actual newspaper that will be delivered to you monthly. So please consider checking out Olaf Childress's The First Freedom. Olaf, again, it was great having you here. Last word is yours before I close it out.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right, well, let's keep in touch. And again, thanks for being here, and thanks to all the listeners out there who have been with the show for a while now and been listening to RenegadeBroadcasting.com and all the great hosts we have on this network. A lot more coming up soon, folks. Tomorrow night we have the roundtable. On Sunday we might be having the Aryan Woman Show. Folks, I hate to admit this, and it might not be – I'll get to that later. Folks, Andy is on Mondays. Drew – or Andrew, too, is on Tuesdays. Got a couple of wild cards, but we might be filling those in soon. I know the next wild card will actually be a YouTuber, The Observer Sees, and we've got James in Wisconsin and Dan doing a wild card later this month. Other than that, I'm sure we'll have other people stopping by to do what they do. And if you want to do a wild card, get in touch with me. It's easy to find me. Contact us right on the side of RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And you find a song here. All right, I've got it. Folks, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I hope that you're doing well. You're staying active, staying enthusiastic, and optimistic. We can do this. Anybody that tells you otherwise is working for the enemy, whether they know it or not. So really consider that. We can do this. It's just whether or not we have the willpower to make it happen. Good night, folks.
tomorrow.